Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We're your hosts, Ross Barber
and Marcy Annavelli.
And today we have singer-songwriter Charlotte Erickson, also known as the Glass Child, with us. How are you, Charlotte?
Hi, I'm really great, thank you. How are you too?
Yeah, very good. Good.
I'm well. So, Charlotte, right off the bat, what are three things about yourself that everyone should know?
Three things. Well, I think maybe everyone already knows that, but I am kind of obsessed with coffee. Like 90% of my tweets are about coffee.
Is it true that Swedish people are obsessed with coffee?
Yeah, I was gonna say the second thing is that I'm from Sweden, so that maybe makes sense. We are obsessed with our coffee. And third thing is I am really, really good at inlines.
Awesome. I was going to say, like, I whenever I go to IKEA, the coffee is the first thing that I always want, because
the coffee's so good.
It's really good. Yeah, you would never expect that IKEA is the place to get good coffee, but it is. So
it's so cheap too. It's so cheap.
I know.
It's like 1 euro here. It's really good.
It's awesome. So you've been busy. You've been really busy. Because I've been following you online for probably about 2 years. And you're always working on something.
Yeah.
So tell us about, maybe let's go back to your first album. Tell us about kind of how that all happened and what's been going on.
Yeah, so, well, I've released 5 or 6 EPs now and 1 full-length album, and I'm just getting ready to release my 2nd full-length. And so I released my first EP like 2 years ago, I think, or 3 years ago now. Since then I've just been trying to, first of all, just grow my following and my audience, and at the same time trying to give them new material all the time. And I guess I'm kind of a restless person too, so I'm always working on stuff and I'm always writing songs and music, and I'm moving quite a lot. I've kind of been living in a lot of different places the last couple of years, and that kind of feeds my inspiration too. So I always have new stuff to tell and talk about and stuff. So, right now I just released my new single from the 2nd album, like last week. And my new album will be out in October. So I'm busy.
Yeah, you're definitely busy. And you just did a crowdfunding campaign?
Yes, through Pledge Music. So I did, to fund my 2nd album, I did a pledge campaign. For many reasons, I was just researching all the different platforms first, and I was thinking about Kickstarter or Pledge Music or Indiegogo, and there are so many options nowadays. But Pledge Music have this really nice concept where it's not just about funding as the money, but also about engaging the whole community you have. And that's kind of my aim with everything I do, most of all, because I think like the first 10 years maybe as an artist, you should just focus on building your audience. And so I really liked the concept, and they were so helpful too, and they were so nice and stuff. So it was amazing, and I didn't really know what to expect, but somehow I managed to reach 100% within 4 hours.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then, so after 40 days, I ended up with 249% funded. And it was just an amazing journey, because my fans got so engaged, and I've never been like connecting so well with them before. So it was just amazing. It was great.
That's amazing.
It must be a really good, like, really nice feeling to know that, you know, you've asked for something, but then they've gone way over what you expected.
Yeah.
And your new single, The Fall, which is amazing, by the way. It's beautiful.
Oh,
it's absolutely great.
So,
And speaking of singles, your the lead single from your debut album, I Will Lead You Home, is the name of the single. The album's I'd Like to Remain a Mystery. It was number two on the Swedish iTunes charts.
Yeah, it was.
What was that like when you when it hit number two?
It was, I don't know, I couldn't really understand it, like, when it happened, because I released that first as a single for, as a charity single for a cancer organization in Sweden, and so all the profits from the single went straight to that organization. So when I released it, I hadn't really done anything, and my following wasn't that big either. So I was never expecting that to happen, and suddenly it just kind of went viral, and it was beautiful, because I kind of felt like it was a very simple song that I just wrote by myself in my bedroom, you know, and it actually could make a difference for this organization. And I don't know, it felt really, really great.
Do you find that sometimes those are the best songs, though, the ones that you don't overthink? They just come out and, you know, it's very simple. And like you said, you just wrote it in your bedroom.
Yeah, totally. Like, there are some, especially on this new album, there are some songs that I really worked on. Like, I crafted them and I worked on the production, you know. But then there are some songs, like this one, it's just acoustic guitar and my voice, and I just recorded it, like, just one take and really simple. But these are often the songs that I think people can connect with, like, the most. So
it's good to have that balance, I think. I think if you had a whole album of that, maybe you, like, I don't know, it's just good to have the different angles, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think it's good for as a songwriter too, to be able to have both, because it's, you know, I can't get bored, so it's good.
And your debut album was released in 2013. You published your first book, Empty Roads and Broken Bottles in Search for the Great Perhaps, in 2013. And
yes,
you were named Breakthrough Artist of the Year by Lemonade Magazine in 2013. So that was a pretty busy year for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a really great year. I don't know, it's like when I look back at the years, it looks like I've done a lot of stuff, but when I'm doing it, it doesn't feel like, you know, I'm just enjoying everything. So I don't know, it just happens. And it's the same, like, now I have so many ideas and projects and stuff that I'd like to do. And I think as long as you are inspired, you should just keep going. Like, you shouldn't stop yourself when you are inspired, because I also know that there are, you know, months sometimes when the inspiration is just gone and you don't want to do anything. So you should, like, take care of that, I think.
Well, as a singer-songwriter myself, I'm wondering if you've ever experienced this, where the inspiration's gone for a few months and you get a little scared. Does that ever happen to you? And you think,
totally, yeah, yeah.
But then
definitely,
you get it first, right?
There are so many times when, like, I go through, like, weeks or months and I'm like, okay, so that was it. Like, I will never be able to write a song again, you know? But I think it's important those times to not, you know, some people have this, like, vision that you should sit down and write every day even though you're not inspired. But for me, it doesn't work. Like, if I go through months when I just don't have anything to say, I think it's better to just go out and live your life for a while, and then you will come back to it and have something to say instead of pushing yourself. But yeah, there are, like, so many times when I'm like, okay, that was it. It's time to get a job.
Well, for me, it's been about, like, 4 or 5 years since I wrote a song, so I'm still in there.
It's gonna come back, I promise you.
I don't know. So part of me wants it to come back, and part of me is just like, I'm okay with that. So
okay,
we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. But
But I also think it's good, like, to have. That's why I guess I published that book. Like, I'm writing a lot, because those periods when I'm like, I don't want to write music right now, then I can go and write normal or just do something else, as long as you stay creative, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It's still about being creative. And what you said is very similar to what I often say, is I think you just need to live sometimes. Like, you maybe have said what you needed to say, you know, and you need to go live and have experiences again. And I also think that's what separates someone who is just a songwriter and someone who's an artist. You know what I mean? An artist, I think, is there to express themselves, right? Someone, like you said, that they must write a song every day, or they must write through that. It becomes work. It's like you're sitting there, okay, this is my job as a songwriter, rather than, like you said, you just need to express yourself. So if you're not writing songs, you're writing a book. You know, you're expressing yourself in different ways. And I think that's what makes you an artist. You know what I mean? That's one of the many things, not to pigeonhole it, but, you know. So that's,
yeah,
I admire that. That's wonderful. I love that. And you saw some major radio play, too. as mm-hmm. with that album. What was that like? Yeah. Did you ever hear yourself on the radio?
Yeah, it was so many strange situations. Like the single "I Will Lead You Home" got some radio plays in Sweden, obviously. But then there were some strange ones. Like I had this fan in Netherlands who just called in and requested my song, a song called "Best Part of Me," at 3 FM, I think it's called. It's like a big major, yeah. And they played it and they added it to playlist and played it several times. And I just sat there and I'm like, what happened there? And it was the same in, yeah, it was crazy. And then it was the same in with a radio station in Germany. A fan called in and like, please play the song. And they played it and added it to the playlist. And then he tweeted me, hey, they played your song. I'm like, okay, that's great. Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful. Awesome.
But you've worked on building a fan base. I shouldn't say worked. It's happening organically and naturally, but you have tens of thousands of fans. And it seems like they're really, I don't want to say working for you, but they're really being part of the experience. And what's that like?
It's beautiful. And I think I've made that really clear from the beginning that that's how I want it to be. That I've always said, like, we're doing this together. It's not about me. It's about us doing this together. And I think that has been my focus when I'm trying to build, like, the connection with my fans, that they feel like they are a part of what I'm doing. And I think that is that's been so great with the Pledge thing, too, because now they feel like they actually made this album happen. Like, I couldn't do it without them because they have... Yeah, they basically did it. So, and I think when you build your connections like that, they want to help you. And so they will call in and, you know, request your song or share it or stuff like that. And if they feel like they are part of your journey kind of thing, then it's just beautiful. And it's more fun for me too, because otherwise I think I would feel very lonely if I just did this all by myself.
Especially being a singer-songwriter, right? Like,
yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. So what are your plans once the album gets launched? I think it's October 21st, 2014, your new album, I Must Be Gone and Live, or Stay and Die, gets released. So what are your plans once that's out?
I'm going to try, well, first of all, I'm going to try to just promote the album as much as possible. But the rest of the year, I'll be doing a house concert tour. First, I'm going to the UK and playing, and then I'm going through all Europe, maybe, probably. I have requests from all kinds of strange countries, so that I didn't even know existed. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. Because that was the kind of the stretch goal that I did with the Pledge campaign. I said, if we reach 200%, I'm gonna take my guitar and go to everyone who requests me to come to their living room. And so, yeah, it's gonna be awesome because I've spent so many years now just trying to build my fan base online, and I haven't played that much because I didn't feel like it gave anything really. But now I feel like I want to play more as like a personal fulfillment kind of thing. So it's gonna be fun.
Have you ever done house concerts before?
No, not before this, but I've done a few now, like the last couple of weeks, and it's so much fun. It's amazing. Yeah, it's beautiful because you connect so personally with the people. I just came back from Sweden like 2 days ago, playing a couple of house shows there, and it's just amazing. Like, they bring their friends and everyone buy your album, and everyone's like, oh my God, yeah. It's beautiful because it's more like a friend kind of thing. So it's, yeah,
it's really the same, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's so much fun.
Like, everyone's talking about house concerts a lot right now. Like, it seems to be kind of the new sort of movement and the new direction that a lot of the live shows are kind of going in. But I think it is, yeah, it's all because of that personal kind of intimate connection. And, you know, you're surrounded by people. Well, if you're the host of the house concert, then you're surrounded by people that you like and you care about, and you're bringing the music that you like into your home and sharing it with them. And I think it creates a whole shared experience that you don't really get in a venue, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And I think for me, as an independent artist, like going to different, especially when I was living in England and in London, going to different venues every single night, it didn't give anything because you don't get paid and you have to bring the crowd. And if you don't have an audience yet in that city, there is no one there. And often the people who are there are just drunk and they don't care. So like, playing live didn't really give anything to me. So I spent that time building my audience online. And then you kind of, when you build your audience online, I have like one fan in every country, you know? So it's really hard for me to tour, because if I go to a country, there is no one there that I can play for, even though I have like almost 30,000 followers on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a strange thing. But when you do it like house concerts, you only play for maybe 10 people, but these people, they love what you do so much. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, it's a concept that really works for me, at least.
So, I mean, I read in your bio that there was a time that you were like sleeping on your fans' floors when you were playing in different places. Just from my own curiosity, what kind of strange experiences did that lead to? Like, did you find anything really weird, like on a fan's floor? Or you don't have to name names. I'm just curious.
Well, there were a couple of strange experiences, but you know, it was more like, because that year I was in that kind of transition where I didn't make money from my music yet, and I refused to take a day job. So I just basically gave up my flat and decided to just not live anywhere. So I crashed whatever I could crash, and sometimes that was at strangers' places, and sometimes with fans that I knew quite well, and sometimes not quite well. And sometimes I just slept like at airports, a lot of airports and stuff like that. And so there were a couple of strange things, like I met so many weird people, but you know, these are like memories that I will never forget, so it was a lot of fun.
Did you ever wake up with someone just looking at you while you sleep?
It happens sometimes, because I crashed at like some bus stations, you know, there are some big bus stations in England, and I just like, sometimes it felt quite safe, especially during the summer. So I'm like, maybe I can just lie here for a few hours. Like, and then I woke up, someone like pointing at me, like, you can't lie here. Like, okay, I'm sorry. Just take my guitar and leave. Yeah, I don't know. It must have looked really strange, like a girl sitting there with a guitar and just sleeping. I don't know.
It makes for a good song, doesn't it?
Yeah, I wrote so many songs that year. Oh my
exactly.
God.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So what sort of advice would you give to someone who maybe is in the position right now that you were in 2, 3, 4 years ago, and, you know, maybe doesn't have a following and is still just starting out? What would you say to them?
I say just don't stop, because there are so many people who, you know, they maybe build this project, or they write an EP or write an album, and then they expect that EP or album to just take them places. And when it doesn't, they're like, oh my God, I've been doing this for 6 months and I'm not like huge yet. What do I do? You know? And now I'm sitting here, you know, I've been doing this for like 5 years now. Like, I work on this every single day. I've never had a day job, so I've been working on this every single day, like every minute. And you know, I can finally kind of make a comfortable living of it, but it's hard work, and like, and I'm still just getting started. I know that it's gonna take maybe 10 more albums to like actually get myself in a position where I feel like people know what kind of music I stand for now. Mm-hmm. And so I say just don't stop, because as long as you haven't stopped, you haven't failed. You just have to just be, keep going and work on your craft and like do something every single day to get you somewhere.
Well, that's beautiful. As long as you haven't stopped, you haven't failed. I love that. That's beautiful. Very much. And, you know, you utilize crowdfunding, right? Because you built your following and everything. There are a lot of people actually that aren't either aware of crowdfunding or think that it, don't realize the benefits of it. You know, especially out of all the crowdfunding platforms you could have used, would you really recommend Pledge Music to someone who's considering crowdfunding?
I can only speak good of Pledge Music. Like, both the help that I got from the whole team, like, they were so helpful, and it was just a simple experience. I don't have an experience with Kickstarter or anything else, so I can't really say anything about it. But in like, Kickstarter is just about getting the money, while Pledge Music is more about the whole project. So it's a bit of a different concept. But I would also like to say that I think that people should be more careful with crowdfunding, because it still is a sensible thing asking people for money. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that there are so many people telling me just like all the way from the beginning, like 3 years ago, like, you should do a crowdfunding thing. And I knew that you need to show them that they can trust you, like, before you ask them for money. And it took me 5 years to get to that point when I felt comfortable asking for money. So people should be careful with it, but when you have that connection, just go for it because it can help you a lot.
All right, are you ready for 20 questions?
Yes. I'm okay. Scared about this because I always mumble when I don't know what to say.
It's okay.
Oh no, this is this will be fun.
Yeah,
we'll just... Well, it's probably Marcio that's going to be mumbling given some of the questions that we put in here.
We're going to try to pronounce some of Sweden's best foods.
Okay.
Be fun. Okay, ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meatballs or veggies?
I'm vegetarian, so veggies.
Oh, good job. CD or vinyl?
I hate to say CDs, but CDs.
Summer or winter?
So, autumn.
London or Berlin?
Oh, Berlin.
Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
Melody or rhythm?
Rhythm.
ABBA or IKEA?
Both at the same time.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Rain or shine?
Rain.
Pickled herring or pea soup and pancakes?
What? Pancakes.
Iceland or ice cream?
Ice cream in Iceland.
Oh, Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Celine Dion.
Saffron Buller and pepper kakor? Or graved eax?
What? Saffron Buller, the first one.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson.
Crop kakor? Or Gavrora?
What?
Gavrora? Gavrora? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me, Ross?
I got the first one. Can you spell the second one? What?
G-U-B-B-R-O-R-A?
What? I have no idea, but yeah, I go for that one.
Okay. Whatever that is. Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Martin.
Whale or kale?
Whale.
Okay. I thought you'd pick kale because you're vegetarian.
Yeah, but I was thinking about the animal. It's a quite nice animal.
Yeah. Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler.
And finally, Ross or Marcio?
Oh, you look so pretty, both of you right now. Both of you together, like this.
Okay. She won't pick.
That's fine. That's a tie.
That's a tie. It's our first tie.
Okay. Good.
Oh my gosh, this has been so, so much fun.
We need to get you to pronounce Swedish words more often, Marcio.
It was perfect. You should totally... We can switch...
do you have any music recommendations for our listeners? Anything that you're listening to right now that they should be listening to?
Yes, there is some of my friends actually from Dublin, and they are playing in a band called Slow Skies, and they're doing like this kind of dreamy pop raw music, and it's beautiful. So I want to check them out. And then Charlie Simpson just released a new album that I've been listening to on repeat.
It's so good.
It's beautiful. I don't know. There are a lot of good new bands coming up right now, actually. But those are the biggest ones, yeah.
Very cool. Well, this has been so much fun. We had some technical difficulties that no one's going to know, but... It's been such a pleasure having you on the show, and hopefully you'll come back.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.
Absolutely. Awesome. And we can people can find you online at charlotteerickson.com.
Yes.
On Twitter, which is...
Twitter.com/justaglasschild. Or just...
Facebook, everywhere.
The Glass Instagram. Child. Yeah.
Awesome.
Just search for The Glass Child and you'll find me.
Sounds great. Ross, anything you want to add?
I think you've said it all. I think we're good.
We just want to wrap up before our computer breaks again.
I know.
Anyways, finish with some Swedish. Say the Swedish things again.
Which one? Okay, you know what? Why don't we do this? How do you say goodbye in Swedish?
Hey, då.
Hey, då? Okay, yes. But I did it, so it's not that funny. How about we do goodbye?
Thank you for joining us.
Or thank you for listening. Whatever applies best.
Tack för att ni lyssnade.
Pardon?
let me teach you something good you can use. Say moons.
Moons.
Fili.
Fili.
Baba.
Baba. Moons Fili Baba.
Yes.
What does that mean?
I know, is it?
It means delicious.
Oh, okay. Moons Fili Baba.
Yeah. Okay, so you can say that.
Interview has been Moons Fili Baba.
Yes. Can you finish every episode with that?
Yeah, sure. Every time you're on the show, we'll do that.
Awesome. Okay.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. So thank you so much, Charlotte.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Ciao.
Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Good coffee, but it is so
it's so cheap
I know.
It's like 1 euro here. It's really good.
It's awesome. So you've been busy. You've been really busy. Because mm-hmm. I've been following you online for probably about 2 years and you're always working on something.
Yeah.
So tell us about, maybe let's go back to your first album. Tell us about kind of how that all happened and what's been going on.
Yeah, so, well, I've released 5 or 6 EPs now and 1 full-length album, and I'm just getting ready to release my 2nd full-length. And so I released my first EP like 2 years ago, I think, or 3 years ago now. And yeah, since then I've just been trying to, first of all, just grow my following and my audience, and at the same time trying to give them new material all the time. And I guess I'm kind of a restless person too, so I'm always working on stuff and I'm always writing songs and music, and I'm moving quite a lot. I've kind of been living in a lot of different places the last couple of years, and that kind of feeds my inspiration too. So I always have new stuff to tell and talk about and stuff. So right now I just released my new single from the 2nd album like last week, and my new album will be out in October. So I'm busy.
Yeah, you're definitely busy. And you just did a crowdfunding campaign?
Yes, through Pledge Music. So I did, to fund my 2nd album, I did a pledge campaign. For many reasons, I was just researching all the different platforms first, and I was thinking about Kickstarter or Pledge Music or Indiegogo, and there are so many options nowadays. But Pledge Music have this really nice concept where it's not just about funding as money, but also about engaging the whole community you have. And that's kind of my aim with everything I do, most of all, because I think like the first 10 years, maybe as an artist, you should just focus on building your audience. And so I really liked the concept, and they were so helpful too, and they were so nice and stuff. So it was amazing. And I didn't really know what to expect, but somehow I managed to reach 100% within 4 hours.
That's amazing.
It was crazy. And then, so after 40 days, I ended up with 249% funded. And it was just an amazing journey because my fans got so engaged, and I've never been like connecting so well with them before. So it was just amazing. It was great.
That's amazing.
It must be Yeah, it must be a really good, like, really nice feeling to know that, you know, you've asked for something, but then they've gone way over what you expected.
Yeah.
Your new single, The Fall, which is amazing, by the way. It's beautiful. It's absolutely great. Speaking of singles, the lead single from your debut album, I Will Lead You Home, is the name of the single. The album's I'd Like to Remain a Mystery. It was number 2 on the Swedish iTunes charts.
Yeah, it was.
What was that like when it hit number 2?
It was, I don't know, I couldn't really understand it, like, when it happened, because I released that first as a single for... as a charity single for a cancer organization in Sweden. And so all the profits from the single went straight to that organization. So when I released it, I hadn't really done anything, and my following wasn't that big either. So I was never expecting that to happen. And suddenly it just kind of went viral. And it was beautiful because I kind of felt like it was a very simple song that I just wrote by myself in my bedroom, you know, and it actually could make a difference for this organization. And I don't know, it felt really, really great.
Do you find that sometimes those are the best songs, though, the ones that you don't overthink? They just come out and, you know, it's very simple. And like you said, you just wrote it in your bedroom.
Yeah, totally. Like, there are some, especially on this new album, there are some songs that I really worked on. Like, I crafted them and I worked on the production, you know. But then there are some songs, like this one, it's just acoustic guitar and my voice, and I just recorded it, like, just one take and really simple. But these are often the songs that I think people can connect with, like, the most. So
it's good to have that balance, I think. I think if you had a whole album of that, maybe you, like, I don't know, it's just good to have the different angles, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think it's good for as a songwriter too, to be able to have both, because it's, you know, I can't get bored, so it's good.
And your debut album was released in 2013. You published your first book, Empty Roads and Broken Bottles and Search for the Great Perhaps, in 2013. And you were named Breakthrough Artist of the Year by Lemonade Magazine in 2013. So that was a pretty busy year for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a really great year. I don't know, it's like when I look back at the years, it looks on the paper like I've done a lot of stuff, but when I'm doing it, it doesn't feel like, you know, I'm just enjoying everything. So I don't know, it just happens. And it's the same, like, now I have so many ideas and projects and stuff that I'd like to do. And I think as long as you are inspired, you should just keep going. Like, you shouldn't stop yourself when you are inspired, because I also know that there are, you know, months sometimes when the inspiration is just gone and you don't want to do anything. So you should, like, take care of that, I think.
Well, as a singer-songwriter myself, I'm wondering if you've ever experienced this, where the inspiration's gone for a few months and you get a little scared. Does that ever happen to you and you think,
totally,
it's over,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, comes, yeah,
yeah. But then definitely, you get a bit burst, right?
There are so many times when, like, I go through, like, weeks or months and I'm like, okay, so that was it. Like, I will never be able to write a song again, you know? But I think it's important those times to not, you know, some people have this, like, vision that you should sit down and write every day even though you're not inspired. But for me, it doesn't work. Like, if I go through months when I just don't have anything to say, I think it's better to just go out and live your life for a while, and then you will come back to it and have something to say instead of pushing yourself. But yeah, there are, like, so many times when I'm like, okay, that was it. It's time to get a job.
Well, for me, it's been about, like, 4 or 5 years since I wrote a song, so I'm still in that.
It's gonna come back, I promise you.
I don't know. So part of me wants it to come back, and part of me is just like, I'm okay with that. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens. But
yeah. But I also think it's good, like, to have. That's why I guess I published that book. Like, I'm writing a lot, because those periods when I'm like, I don't want to write music right now, then I can go and write normal or just do something else, as long as you stay creative, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It's still about being creative. And what you said is very similar to what I often say, is I think you just need to live sometimes. Like, you maybe have said what you needed to say, you know, and you need to go live and have experiences again. And I also think that's what separates someone who is just a songwriter and someone who's an artist. You know what I mean? An artist, I think, is there to express themselves, right? Someone, like you said, that they must write a song every day, or they must write through that. It's it becomes work. It's like you're sitting there, okay, this is my job as a songwriter, rather than, like you said, you just need to express yourself. So if you're not writing songs, you're writing a book. You know, you're expressing yourself in different ways. And I think that's what makes you an artist. You know what I mean? That's one of the many things, not to pigeonhole it, but, you know. So that's, yeah. I admire that. That's wonderful. I love that. And you saw some major radio play, too, as well, with that album. What was that like? Did you ever hear yourself on the radio?
Yeah, it was so many strange situations. Like the single "I Will Lead You Home" got some radio plays in Sweden, obviously, but then there were some strange ones. Like I had this fan in Netherlands who just called in and requested my song, a song called "Best Part of Me," at 3 FM, I think it's called. It's like a big major, yeah. And they played it and they added it to a playlist and played it several times. And I just sat there and I'm like, what happened there? And it was the same in, yeah, it was crazy. And then it was the same in, with a radio station in Germany, a fan called in and like, please play the song. And they played it and added it to the playlist. And then he tweeted me, hey, they played your song. I'm like, okay, that's great. Yeah, it's beautiful. Awesome.
But you've worked on building a fan base. I shouldn't say worked. It's happening organically and naturally, but you have tens of thousands of fans. And it seems like they're really, I don't want to say working for you, but they're really being part of the experience. And what's that like?
It's beautiful. And I think I've made that really clear from the beginning that that's how I want it to be. That I've always said, like, we're doing this together. It's not about me. It's about us doing this together. And I think that has been my focus when I'm trying to build, like, the connection with my fans, that they feel like they are a part of what I'm doing. And I think that is that's been so great with the Pledge thing, too, because now they feel like they actually made this album happen. Like, I couldn't do it without them because they have... Yeah, they basically did it. So, and I think when you build your connections like that, they want to help you. And so they will call in and, you know, request your song or share it or stuff like that. And if they feel like they are part of your journey kind of thing, then it's just beautiful. And it's more fun for me too, because otherwise I think I would feel very lonely if I just did this all by myself.
Especially being a singer-songwriter, right? Like,
yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. So what are your plans once the album gets launched? I think it's October 21st, 2014, your new album, I Must Be Gone and Live, or Stay and Die, gets released. So what are your plans once that's out?
I'm going to try, well, first of all, I'm going to try to just promote the album as much as possible. But the rest of the year, I'll be doing a house concert tour. First, I'm going to the UK and playing, and then I'm going through all Europe, maybe, probably. I have requests from all kinds of strange countries so that I didn't even know existed. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. Because that was the kind of the stretch goal that I did with the Pledge campaign. I said, if we reach 200%, I'm gonna take my guitar and go to everyone who requests me to come to their living room. And so, yeah, it's gonna be awesome because I've spent so many years now just trying to build my fan base online, and I haven't played that much because I didn't feel like it gave anything really. But now I feel like I want to play more as like a personal fulfillment kind of thing. So it's gonna be fun.
Have you ever done house concerts before?
No, not before this, but I've done a few now, like the last couple of weeks, and it's so much fun. It's amazing. Yeah, it's beautiful because you connect so personally with the people. I just came back from Sweden like 2 days ago, playing a couple of house shows there, and it's just amazing. Like, they bring their friends and everyone buy your album, and everyone's like, oh my God, yeah. It's beautiful because it's more like a friend kind of thing. So it's really
the same, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's so much fun.
Like, everyone's talking about house concerts a lot right now. Like, it seems to be kind of the new sort of movement and the new direction that a lot of the live shows are kind of going in. But I think it is, yeah, it's all because of that personal kind of intimate connection. And, you know, you're surrounded by people. Well, if you're the host of the house concert, then you're surrounded by people that you like and you care about, and you're bringing the music that you like into your home and sharing it with them. And I think it creates a whole shared experience that you don't really get in a venue, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And I think for me, as an independent artist, like going to different, especially when I was living in England and in London, going to different venues every single night, it didn't give anything because you don't get paid and you have to bring the crowd. And if you don't have an audience yet in that city, there is no one there. And often the people who are there are just drunk and they don't care. So like playing live didn't really give anything to me. So I spent that time building my audience online. And then you kind of, when you build your audience online, I have like one fan in every country, you know? So it's really hard for me to tour because if I go to a country, there is no one there that I can play for, even though I have like almost 30,000 followers on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a strange thing. But when you do it like house concerts, you only play for maybe 10 people, but these people, they love what you do so much. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, it's just, it's a concept that really works for me, at least.
So, I mean, I read in your bio that there was a time that you were like sleeping on your fans' floors when you were playing in different places. Just from my own curiosity, what kind of strange experiences did that lead to? Like, did you find anything really weird, like on a fan's floor? Or you don't have to name names. I'm just curious.
Well, there were a couple of strange experiences, but you know, it was more like, because that year I was in that kind of transition where I didn't make money from my music yet and I refused to take a day job, so I just basically gave up my flat and decided to just not live anywhere. So I crashed whatever I could crash, and sometimes that was at strangers' places and sometimes with fans that I knew quite well and sometimes not quite well, and sometimes I just slept like at airports, a lot of airports and stuff like that. And so there were a couple of strange things, like I met so many weird people, but you know, these are like memories that I will never forget, so it was a lot of fun.
Did you ever wake up with someone just looking at you while you sleep?
It happens sometimes because I crashed at like some bus stations, you know, there are some big bus stations in England, and I just like, sometimes it felt quite safe, especially during the summer. So I'm like, maybe I can just lie here for a few hours. Yeah. Like, and then I woke up, someone like pointing at me, like, you can't lie here. Like, okay, I'm sorry. Just take my guitar and leave. Yeah, I don't know. It must have looked really strange, like a girl sitting there with a guitar and just sleeping. I don't know.
It makes for a good song, doesn't it?
Yeah, I wrote so many songs that year. Oh my
god.
Exactly. Yeah, it was crazy.
So what sort of advice would you give to someone who maybe is in the position right now that you were in 2, 3, 4 years ago, and you know, maybe doesn't have a following and is still just starting out? What would you say to them?
I say just don't stop, because there are so many people who, you know, they maybe build this project or they write an EP or write an album, and then they expect that EP or album to just take them places. And when it doesn't, they're like, oh my God, I've been doing this for 6 months and I'm not like huge yet. What do I do? You know? And now I'm sitting here, you know, I've been doing this for like 5 years now. Like, I work on this every single day. I've never had a day job. So I've been working on this every single day, like every minute. And you know, I can finally kind of make a comfortable living of it, but it's hard work, and like, and I'm still just getting started. I know that it's going to take maybe 10 more albums to like actually get myself in a position where I feel like people know what kind of music I stand for now. Mm-hmm. And so I say, just don't stop, because as long as you haven't stopped, you haven't failed. You just have to just be, keep going and work on your craft and like do something every single day to get you somewhere.
Well, that's beautiful. As long as you haven't stopped, you haven't failed. I love that. That's beautiful. Very much. And, you know, you utilize crowdfunding, right? Because you've built your following and everything. There are a lot of people actually that aren't either aware of crowdfunding or think that it, don't realize the benefits of it. You know, especially out of all the crowdfunding platforms you could have used, would you really recommend Pledge Music to someone who's considering crowdfunding?
I can only speak good of Pledge Music. Like, both the help that I got from the whole team, like, they were so helpful, and it was just a simple experience. I don't have any experience with Kickstarter or anything else, so I can't really say anything about it. But in like, Kickstarter is just about getting the money. while
yes.
Pledge Music is more about the whole project. So it's a bit of a different concept. But I would also like to say that you should, I think that people should be more careful with crowdfunding, because it still is a sensible thing asking people for money. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that there are so many people telling me just like, all the way from the beginning, like 3 years ago, like, you should do a crowdfunding thing. And I knew that you need to show them that they can trust you, like, yes, before you ask them for money. And it took me 5 years to get to that point when I felt comfortable asking for money. So people should be careful with it. But when you have that connection, just go for it, because it can help you a lot.
All right. Are you ready for 20 questions?
Yes. I'm okay. Scared about this, because I always mumble when I don't know what to say.
It's okay.
Oh, no, this is this will be fun.
Yeah,
well, it's probably Marcio that's going to be mumbling, given some of the questions that we've written here.
We're going to try to pronounce some of Sweden's best foods.
Okay.
It'll be fun. Okay, ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meatballs or veggies?
I'm vegetarian, so veggies.
Oh, good job. CD or vinyl?
I hate to say CDs, but CDs.
Summer or winter?
Autumn.
London or Berlin?
Oh, Berlin.
Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
Melody or rhythm?
Rhythm.
ABBA or IKEA?
Both at the same time.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Rain or shine?
Rain.
Pickled herring or pea soup and pancakes?
What? Pancakes.
Iceland or ice cream?
Ice cream in Iceland.
Oh, Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Celine Dion.
Saffron's Buller and Pepper Kakor? Or Graved Eax?
What? Saffron's Buller, the first one.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson.
Crop Cocker or Gabrora?
What?
Gabrora? Gabrora? Crop Cocker? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me, Ross?
I got the first one. Can you spell the second one? What?
G-U-B-B-R-O-R-A.
What? I have no idea. Well, but I go for that one.
Okay.
Whatever that is.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Martin.
Whale or kale?
Whale.
Okay. I thought you'd pick kale because you're vegetarian.
Yeah, but I was thinking about the animal. It's a quite nice animal.
Yeah. Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler.
And finally, Ross or Marcio?
Oh, you look so pretty, both of you right now. Both of you together like this.
Okay. She won't pick.
That's no, fine. That's a tie.
That's a tie. It's our first tie.
Okay. Good.
Oh my gosh, this has been so much fun.
We need to get you to pronounce Swedish words more often, Marcio.
It was perfect. You should totally. We can switch.
Do you have any? And do you have any music recommendations for our listeners? Anything that you're listening to right now that they should be listening to?
Yes, there is. Some of my friends actually from Dublin, and they are playing in a band called Slow Skies, and they're doing like this kind of dreamy pop raw music, and it's beautiful. So I want to check them out. And then Charles Simpson just released a new album that I've been listening to on repeat. It's
like
so good. It's beautiful. I don't know. There are a lot of good new bands coming up right now, actually. But those are the biggest ones,
Very cool. Well, this has been so much fun. We have some technical difficulties that no one's going to know, but... It's been such a pleasure having you on the show, and hopefully you'll come back.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.
Absolutely. Awesome. And we can people can find you online at charlotteerickson.com.
Yes.
On Twitter, which is
twitter.com/justtheglasschild. Or just
Facebook, everywhere.
The Glass Child. Yeah.
Awesome.
Just search for The Glass Child and you'll find me.
Sounds great. Ross, anything you want to add?
I think you've said it all. I think we're good.
We just want to wrap up before our computer breaks again.
Anyway, finish with some Swedish. Say the Swedish things again.
Which one? Okay, you know what? Why don't we do this? How do you say goodbye in Swedish?
Hey, då.
Hey, då? Okay, yes. But I did it, awesome. So it's not that funny. How about we do goodbye?
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for joining us. How about that? Or thank you for listening, whatever applies best.
Tack för att ni lyssnade.
Pardon?
let me teach you something good you can use. Say moons.
Moons.
Fili.
Fili.
Baba.
Baba. Moons, Fili, Baba?
Yes.
What does that mean?
It means delicious.
Oh, okay. Moons Fili Baba.
Yeah. Okay, so you can say that.
Your interview has been Moons Fili Baba.
Yes. Can you finish every episode with that?
Yeah, sure. Every time you're on the show, we'll do that.
Awesome. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So thank you so much, Charlotte.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Ciao.
Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.